Good morning. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have come as our good shepherd, the good shepherd who laid down his life and took it up again, the good shepherd who has spoken, who is speaking, whose voice we yearn to hear on that day when the last trumpet sounds. And yet until then, you gather us together as your flock, scattered maybe, isolated perhaps, but not alone, and united by your Holy Spirit who is at work among us. I pray that as I proclaim your words this morning, that you would give us the comfort that comes in and through you, our good shepherd. Amen. So it is the fourth Sunday of Easter, fitting every day, but especially during the Easter season. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. There's seven Sundays of Easter. That hasn't changed. That happens each year in the liturgical calendar. But thinking about change, it feels like change just keeps happening. Things are constantly changing. Changing in our culture. Now we're waiting for changes. So after having stay-at-home orders, maybe we can get to, you don't have to stay at home eventually, begin to get out yearning for those changes. Changes are constantly happening. Changes are happening to our bodies. Changes are happening in the weather. Changes are happening as we see the flowers bloom. But there are also changes that happen that we don't anticipate or want. One of those is that, well, today, May 3rd, has been, at least in recent history, Confirmation Sunday here at St. John. The first Sunday in May, and whether it was recently the first Sunday in May or sometime in the spring, today would have been Youth Confirmation Sunday, but it isn't. And so that is something for our 8th grade confirmands at St. John and their families, in the church family, a change probably that we didn't want. It's a change that hits close to home for me and my family. Our oldest daughter, Piper, would have been standing before the church, before God, making a commitment, echoing back a promise that God has already made to her, that she's baptized into Jesus, that she will remain faithful, but that Confirmation Sunday not happening. Yeah, that's a change I'm probably not looking for. If I just look at recent history through the eyes of our oldest daughter, an 8th grader, Confirmation Sunday, not yet. 8th grade trip, planning for, hoping for, not going to happen at least in 8th grade. 8th grade graduation, well, maybe virtually. The last day of school, well, I guess in some sense it already happened with her classmates. And it starts to add up. I didn't want these changes. What are we going to do? And I'm just looking at this through the eyes of an 8th grader. It's something that hits all of us. Those changes that we didn't want, it impacts us. And maybe it's relative. You say, well, the things that hurt an 8th grader are different than someone who is 38 or 68 or 98. But all of us are impacted. All of us have endured and are enduring change as a result of a pandemic. Well, we're changing anyway. But these pandemic changes, maybe it's a loss of job. Maybe it's a loss of purpose because you were used to being able to go into the office or drive the school bus or wait on tables or cook meals for larger groups than you've been cooking for now. There's a loss of freedom to move around, or now the movement, you should wear a mask. Well, that's weird. And in the extreme, sickness and loss of life. In the midst of all of these changes, many of which we probably don't want as a result of a COVID-19 pandemic, I don't know about you, but at least for me, it's tempting to lose hope. I mean, I know I shouldn't, but I'm tempted. tempting to lose hope and through the suffering and also then the sorrow to just maybe want to curl up in a ball and just give up. But no, not today. We're not alone in this. The scripture passage that's primarily the basis for the sermon this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Interestingly enough, today we have 1 Peter chapter 2, 19 to 25, and then next week we're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 to 10, but not yet. The reason that 1 Peter chapter 2, 19 to 25, I think, is this weekend is because it talks about Jesus as the shepherd and overseer of our souls, and this is the fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday. But 1 Peter 2:19, it talks about suffering. St. Peter says, "For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly." I mean, it's one thing to suffer because you goofed up your own life. But it's another thing when, well, I didn't ask for this pandemic. I didn't ask for these things to happen. It's not fair. It's unjust. And there are sorrows in the suffering. But each of us suffers uniquely. Some things are shared, but crosses, suffering, is custom made for each believer. That you and I know and trust that we have a Heavenly Father who controls and holds all things together in and through Jesus, that by faith we trust there is, yes, a purpose to our suffering. It shapes us. Crosses are custom made. It shapes us to be more like Jesus. And it provides opportunities to be more like Jesus. At least for me, maybe it's rather than lash out and explode, I'm still working hard on that, to take a deep breath, to endure, to bear with. To be like Jesus, that rather than just quit and give up, I mean, all of his disciples abandoned him. Ultimately, he kept going. So what do we do? Well, it's simple. As Christians, as sheep of the Good Shepherd, we look at him. We listen to him. St. Paul goes on to say in verse 21, he says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you. You have been called." Well, that was our gospel lesson this morning that Pastor Luke read. John chapter 10 is Jesus' Good Shepherd chapter. He talks about being, well, today the door, but also the Good Shepherd. We know what the shepherd does. The shepherd not only uses his physical presence, but part of his physical presence is his voice. His familiar voice. In John 10:3, Jesus says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls." He calls. He calls his own sheep by name, an intimacy, a personal connection. And not only does he call them by name, he himself, he leads them out. He says, when he brought them out, brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He calls them, and they follow him as he leads. They know his voice. Jesus is your good shepherd. He's called you. In the waters of holy baptism, he's called you. Confirmation Sunday, confirming that what happened in my baptism and your baptism is valid, that Jesus has called you and me by name, and he still is with us. Not just you were baptized, but you are baptized into the death and resurrection of your good shepherd. And believe it or not, Jesus is still leading. Still. He goes before. But not only is Jesus our good shepherd, here is this paradox. He's a sheep. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb of God, and I think it may be up there now, Pastor Luke, you see an image of a lamb, an Easter lamb. There's one in the dwelling place who is victorious. Yeah, on this fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, our Good Shepherd leads, but he also is the Lamb, like us, and that he has gone before. He has conquered the grave. And what's true for him is true for you and me. Yeah, he's the good shepherd who laid down his life for you. He came to suffer, to be raised on the third day, so that you and I, as Jesus says later in John chapter 10, it's not on there, Pastor Luke, in John 10:10, it is not on the slides, but he says, so that you and I might have life. And have it abundantly. Not have a miserable existence and being locked down and quarantined, but have life and have it to the full. And then St. Peter says, in verse 21, the second half, that Jesus has come for us, that he suffered for you and me. And then he says, leaving you an example so that you might follow his steps. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. We, like sheep, have gone astray, and yet we follow him. As the camp song or children's song says, I just want to be a sheep. And the beautiful euphonious words, ba, 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 ba. It's a good thing to be a sheep of the Good Shepherd, to follow where he leads. And so our focus, it's tempting to go everywhere else, is always on Jesus. We've got a almost 9-month-old standard poodle puppy who, if he wasn't black but white, he would look kind of like a lamb, curly hair, and yet he is easily distracted. And he is going to and fro and everywhere. And he is learning to follow, to trust our voice. And you and I, as little sheep, lambs of the Good Shepherd, are tempted to go to and fro, but he continues to beckon and call and follow and hem us in for our good. So we listen to his voice and follow where he leads. Now, moving ahead a couple verses, in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, Peter says that Jesus, he himself, not just anyone, but Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. He took everything into himself. Our guilt, our shame, our despondency, our despair, our toxicity, but hold on, other people's toxicity, other people's negativity. He took it all into himself so that it might go to the cross to die. That we might die to sin. And our God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. That we might live to righteousness. And then in the last part of this verse, 1 Peter 2:24. I think it's pure gospel. By his wounds, the wounds that the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for you and me, took in, by his wounds, you are healed. Everything. Completely. Nothing left undiagnosed. Nothing that's incurable. Completely. By his wounds, it's a personal thing. You are healed. And then here it is, the connection. The connection to why I think these verses from 1 Peter 2 get flipped around, and why we have verse 25 today on Good Shepherd Sunday, and we have verses 1 to 10 next week, because it ends with, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now, the image that I've included for the slides here is one that you were straying and now you have returned. That's repentance. Go back to God. Go back to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He's waiting. He wants you. But sometimes maybe you think, I am stuck in a thicket. I don't know that I can get back. Well, here's the good news. He has come to rescue you and me. He's come to the places that Satan would want you to think are inaccessible. He's come for you to save. Well, I'm going to end with a hymn that is in our hymnal that maybe, well, I don't know, sometimes I've thought of it maybe as a children's hymn. I am Jesus, little lamb. Fittingly, Mrs. Johnson asked our oldest daughter Piper to sing it for the service, and we recorded that, and we'll play it in a bit. And I didn't really realize until after the fact that, well, today would have been Confirmation Sunday, and Piper and Gretchen Bernath and their brothers and sisters, eighth graders, and eventually, unless Jesus comes back first, will stand up before God and before the church and make a promise, an echo back of the promise that God's already made to them. That the Good Shepherd has called you by name. That He still leads. That He laid down His life. That He took it up again. That you are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. So the hymn, the first verse is, I am Jesus, little lamb, ever glad at heart I am. Close beside me, gently guides me. Loves me every day the same. Even calls me by my name. You know, as I was reflecting on the change, everything's changing. What I have to do, I think I would contend what we have to do always is keep our eyes and ears on Jesus, on God. Because as much as the world is changing around us, your Good Shepherd doesn't change. He loves you every day the same, whether it was your best stay-at-home day ever, or whether it was your worst. Whether it was a day that was forgettable in the thousands of days that have come before or since, that He loves you every day the same. That He has called you to be His in baptism. Called you by name, intimately and personally. And so, because of that Good Shepherd who is unchanging, verse 2 says, day by day, at home away, Jesus is my staff and stay. When I hunger, Jesus feeds me, into pleasant pastures leads me. When I thirst, He bids me go, where the quiet waters flow. Day in and day out, across a lifetime, this is who He is, the Good Shepherd for His lambs, His sheep. This is, as I heard Piper singing it, and I'm guessing is true for other parents of little lambs, is a prayer. That whether at 14 years old, or 34 years old, or 54, or 74, or 94, or 114, I guess I got a pattern of going up by 20, that this is the confession of one who's been called by the Good Shepherd. That we as the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to hear this. As we've watched these little ones be baptized into Christ, a confirmation is to say, yes, God has said this to me, I get it, and I intend to be faithful even unto death because of the Good Shepherd who has already been faithful to me. And then verse 3. Who's so happy as I am, even in the midst of whatever day it is of a quarantine, even now the shepherd's lamb, and when my short life is ended, by his angel host attended, he shall fold me to his breast, there within his arms to rest. See, that's not only my prayer for my children, my prayer for you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It takes me back to Easter Sunday, as I would imagine that this was Pastor Noel's prayer for John. That we want to keep confessing and telling that story of the Good Shepherd who laid down his life and took it up again. See, I would add this to the end of verse 3. He shall fold me to his breast, there within his arms to rest. But this is the Easter season to rest until that day. The day of the resurrection of all flesh. The day when the Good Shepherd returns, the one who comes to give life and give it abundantly. The one who, in the end, swallows up death in victory. Jesus says in John 10:17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." So I'll end where I started. Hallelujah. Christ, our Good Shepherd, is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Amen.